Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm... You know what? Why would I even bother telling people I am? You just said the show's with... This is We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said you're Addy.
I did.
So you really left nothing for me.
No.
No.
It's better that way.
All right. Your topic.
My topic. The topic for today
is... Oh, I'm Mo, by the way.
Oh. Well, nobody cares. Let's start off. We Talk Wrestling. I'd like to get into a topic that was a pretty slow week.
You know what? Let's just hit this real quick. Because tonight is TNA Sacrifice or Impact Wrestling Sacrifice. Anything at all left that you want to say?
Okay, you son of a bitch. You say it's my topic.
But then I realized that this is the only chance because we get this shit out of the way with TNA. We don't have to bring them up again for the next 7-8 shows. They had a pay-per-view. Anything at all.
7-8 years? The pay-per-view is called Sacrifice.
7-8 years, I'm hoping they're not sold business.
Fucking China's in the fucking matches, and they run at an angle with Karen Jarrett on her Facebook, Twitter, saying that she hurt herself or something, that she's teasing not being in the match, which I'm assuming is just going to lead to the network forcing her to be in the match.
Because the network still controls their pay-per-views.
Apparently, yeah. Spike is controlling the pay-per-views. Anyway, name me 3 matches. I probably could name 3.
Yeah, matches. I mean, you got Sting versus RVD. You got the match you just talked about with the Jarrett's versus China and Angle.
Walker.
Yeah, you got Braden Walker and Chris Harris and Matt Hardy versus Beer Money. You got Robbie E versus Brian Kendrick.
Fuck off! How did you know that?
Well, it's true. You got Kazarian versus Max Buck.
Really?
You got Mickey James versus. What's her name? Madison Rain? Is that it?
Is that Tara's Freedom on the
Tara's
line?
Tara's Freedom on the line,
okay,
yeah.
Yes, because, you know, yeah. Mickey James
and
loves
you got AJ Styles versus Tommy Dreamer. I think that's the whole card. I think that's the rundown.
Okay.
So, anything at all of interest to you? Anything
no.
you give a shit about?
Then Max Buck Kazarian might be a good match, not worth, you know, paying for, but, you know, or even probably seeking it out. But, you know, it should be a good match nonetheless. So
maybe, yeah.
Anyway, we're almost 3 minutes in the show, and
I just want to. I have one thing I want to say about it. No, I do. I have one thing I want to say about this. You got China versus Karen Angle. I'm worried this is going to lead to a singles match.
I'm not.
And I am because the last time you had a woman wrestler with who had some experience wrestling, but really wasn't very good and hadn't wrestled a lot lately.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about China. She's not very good.
You said a woman.
My mistake. Last time you had this woman pretending to be a woman.
She peed standing up.
Wrestling. And she wasn't very good. She hadn't been around for a while. Facing an untrained, unathletic woman. Mm-hmm. You ended up with Charmel versus...
Jenna Marasca.
And I'm worried that we're going to end up Kerry Angle versus China is going to be Charmel versus Jenna Marasca 2,
Why are you worried about that?
No, but here's my question. Just because this just came to me, I just want to ask you this real quick.
Your mom just came to me.
The Jenna Marasca Charmel match or the Jackie Gata match? Go.
What was worse? Is that
just
what you're asking me?
Any comment at all in comparison? Worse?
The Charmel match was worse because nobody held up their end at all. And in the Bowling Shoe Ugly match, I mean, at least you had the Jackie Gata match. You did have Trish, who you know wasn't her best outing, obviously, but she at least had some competence there. So
okay, the Jenna Marasca match at least had Jenna Marasca bending over at the very beginning to get into it and grinding against the ropes and her shorts riding up her ass, and we basically saw her entire vagina.
I honestly don't remember much about it. That was something, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just saying. All right. Okay.
Well, thanks for just tanking this show right in the fucking toilet out the gate.
Hey, look, I figure we got TNA out of the way. It can only get better from here. I only have one TNA topic for this week, okay. So let's go.
Wrestling matters, Mo.
Oh, you have another one then.
Wrestling matters.
Okay, let's go.
So what do you think about... We've talked about how they changed the name to Impact Wrestling on Spike TV, and they've got their new logo, their new design, and new website, and everything. It's Impact Wrestling, and now they've come up with a series of 30-second promos or vignettes with the various wrestlers, I guess, talking about how wrestling matters, and that's going to be their catchphrase. So what are you thinking?
What am I thinking? Nothing.
I didn't think so. I mean... in a nutshell, it's not a bad slogan or catchphrase. It's, you know, the thing is what is it, 3 weeks ago, you had 9 minutes of actual wrestling?
Yes, we did. On, well, because it matters. That 9 minutes were the only part of the show that mattered.
That mattered. Well, you know, that's actually probably true. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. But, no, you know, it's one of those things. If they could follow through with it.
They had a 29-minute main event this last week.
Did they?
Yeah, their battle royal,
yes.
Went 29 minutes.
That's right.
That's ridiculous.
Right. That is ridiculous. I don't know how much
that's
that.
Longer than the battle royal at WrestleMania 2.
Yeah, that's longer than almost as long as when Shawn Michaels won the Royal Rumble.
Won that one Royal Rumble. That's the first time he won it.
It was like 37 minutes or something.
The number two entrant, yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's crazy to think about. I mean, hey, if that's going to be their focus going forward, that'd be a great thing. Now, I've heard about these vignettes with people like Ric Flair and Kurt Angle, and I don't know if it has anybody current. I mean, it's like Hulk Hogan.
Oh, no, it has. I've seen RVD. I don't know if you call him current.
I wouldn't call him current.
Bobby Roode, Matt Morgan, Samoa Joe, the Pope there.
The Pope.
Kurt
okay.
Angle's was the best because the Kurt Angle, what did Kurt Angle, he was very, just very matter of fact about how, you know, somebody prompted him to say, you know, well, a focus on wrestling, that has to be nothing but good for Kurt Angle. It must be Jason Hervey or whatever saying that. And Kurt goes, yeah, that is because I'm the best wrestler in the company. I may be the best wrestler of all time. And he just kept moving on. And he just said, you know, not even like he was bragging or anything.
Matter.
It was just a very matter-of-fact sentence that came out.
Unfortunately,
out of Kurt's
mouth. Even if it does come across odd, what he just said may be true.
I don't know if that's...
An argument could certainly be made that he's the best.
He's in the game.
He's in the game. Let's put it that way. He's in the game.
Yeah,
I mean, I like I said, I'd be really happy if that is their focus moving forward. But, I really am interested to see 2 months from now when they rebrand themselves something else what it's going to be.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, because that's the whole thing, right? The fact is Vince Russo is there, and he'll see something shiny, and his attention will be changed.
Yeah, well, they've rebranded themselves so many goddamn times here.
In the last
few years that it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, okay, let's get rid of that shit.
Okay, well, let's bring up two things on it. Number one, RVD, because you just brought this up. Does he have anything left? Do you think we're ever going to see another 3.5-4-star match from RVD? We won't see it against Sting. Like, is he too old? Is he past his prime, too beat up, just not focused enough?
Well,
I mean, he was something else in the ring. I mean, I could think of a lot of great RVD matches. I still thought he had something left when he first got there, but I just haven't seen anything.
He's capable, and when he first got there, he did, because, again, he was motivated.
Yeah, and he faced AJ Styles.
He's not motivated. And I don't blame
him.
He's
in the main event picture, but he's not motivated.
Yeah, because the main event picture is shit.
Yeah.
So, there's nothing to motivate him, and he's just coming in, I guess, and sort of collecting his paycheck, and RVD's always been a guy where if he's coasting, it's very, very obvious that coasting, and right now, he's coasting. He's still got the ability. I mean, he's in great shape. He works out. He does the YRG bro.
He's about 38 years old?
I think so.
Something like that.
Probably, yeah.
So that shouldn't be past here. I mean, not in wrestling. Maybe he can't do with some of the things he once was able to.
Mm-hmm.
But he should still be able to have a great match. And maybe if they're putting wrestling on, and because that's what he always liked. He always saw himself as an artist, and he wants to work the hardcore style and just be able to. If they just say to him, you know what, just go out there and have 20-minute matches. That's what he was doing really at the end of ECW before, you know, he decided to leave. And in some ways, before Heyman got kicked out, when he was facing Kurt Angle on ECW. CW TV and such, and Bob Holly, and they were having these really good matches, you know, just matches that Vince McMahon didn't want them to have, you know,
well,
not
Kevin
his style.
Dunn, I think, even too.
But I still think he's got to have something left, but I'm worried we'll never see it again.
Well, the thing is, and I remember towards the original ECW, the actual ECW towards the end there, where RVD was an artist.
Absolutely.
And, in the ring. And now most of the people that were in the end run
He first came in and worked with Jeff Hardy for the hardcore title, right?
Well, and a lot of the guys
when the
original ECW closed down also went on to become artists, but they're now actually sandwich artists.
Yeah, that's true. So, that's true.
But too bad with that Tom Marquez. But anyway, let's get rid of this TNA shit.
One more TNA note, then we're done.
Come on.
The Pope said he's graduated with a degree in criminology, and it looks like he's said on his Twitter or Facebook, I can't remember which, but it does look like he's leaving. I just wondered, do you have any thoughts on that at all?
Fuck, hallelujah. Good for you. Get away from that shit. You got your goddamn education, so go ahead and use it, and that's the most important thing. And, you know, it's very obvious that the first thing you would do when you are educated is leave TNA.
I just think it's a shame. Here's a company that if one more young superstar who hasn't left his potential is
going to
leave that company. Dunderhead. He's going to leave that company, or he's going to just leave wrestling altogether. It's like we just can't afford to have any more people with great potential leave this industry when there's so few young stars. And that's I'm very disappointed if that's the decision he makes.
I'm somewhat disappointed.
You know what they haven't. I mean, he should have been more for that company than he was, but it just, again, goes to their booking, goes back to their philosophies and where they sit and why he hasn't reached that potential.
Well, he should have been more in WWE, and it was the Elijah Burke watch, right?
Yeah.
Where the fuck is he? And he's just sitting on the sidelines. Everybody thought he had this potential, and there obviously had to have been something behind the scenes where he rubbed people the wrong way in that political minefield of a company. So, you'd take him over to TNA, and he started off with the great entrance and gimmick, and he stood out, and he cut the great promos, and then
he was over, and he was pushed to the main event. He got to right in that. They did this tournament thing. He got right to the main event.
Wait, they did a tournament?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Hard to believe, but I think he was also he was right up there with Desmond Wolfe in those polls that they're doing on who the fans wanted to see in the main event and such. He was.
Karen Angle was there too.
He was something else.
On
in the
pole?
Polls?
Yeah.
She was on a poll. She said, "Don't fucking touch me on that pole."
Oh, right. Yes.
Get your fucking hands off me.
Yes.
Yeah, or maybe that was another TP for
TNA. Can we stop now?
Yeah, we can. That's it for TNA, guys. So now people can forward to the 12 minutes in and actually listen to the show.
I'm going
to
make a note of that, actually, in the opening, is the show actually starts 12 and a half minutes in.
So it was just getting warmed up. It wasn't Greg the Hammer Valentine.
The Blue Knight?
This was the Blue Knight.
Okay. Well, I want to move on to a topic that I'd done a blog about on PW Journal.
Great blog.
Our new sort of blogger home, PW Journal. You can also find all the shows there as well. PWJournal.wordpress.com is a site that we're happy to be affiliated with, and it's a nice site. So not just us that are writing some articles on there, but a lot of
you got your
people,
Angry
so.
Marks people on there. You got basically links to almost. You got links to Figure Four. You got links to every website. You have other people contributing. You have a lot of great stuff on
there. Yeah, it's a great site. But anyway, I blogged on that about what seems to be, and according to Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer, some serious consideration to the return of the wrestling manager. Anybody that probably less people that are listening to this that saw Superstars on the internet or at least heard about it know that Michael P.S. Hayes,
it's not hard to be three people.
That's true. That's true. Michael P.S. Hayes, the manager of Tyson Kidd now. What do you think about that?
That's awesome. That's awesome for Tyson Kidd, number one. Tyson has a good look. He is really short, okay? Let's be honest. But as far as, like, it's just the way he carries himself, his hair, and just this cocky heel demeanor, I think he's really good. In the ring, he's a fantastic. I mean, could he be a fantastic enhancement talent? Yes, because he's good enough to do that. But could it be more than that? Yes. Would it be nice if there was a division for him? Absolutely would be. But there's a lot of people around his size that he could compete with in the Sin Caras and the
Daniel Bryans
and of that
Trent
nature.
Trent Beretta.
Yeah, that he can really go out there
Santino.
And have fantastic travel. You can have fantastic matches against these guys. And you know
Kurt
what? It
Hawkins.
Doesn't have to be a X Division cruiserweight type of deal. They could just have – maybe it's just the smaller guys or the guys competing for the U.S. title
Primo.
Down the road. Or maybe it does. Maybe size doesn't matter.
Tell you that all the time, don't they?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I've been told that. Your mom,
oh, your mom
said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah. But anyways.
You can call me Addy.
Yeah. I won't, though.
No.
No. But the point being that Tyson Kidd has a lot of talent, and now you got the guy as the head writer and a fantastic promo, who, at least on Superstars, was Supertards.
Supertards. That's Impact, by the way.
That's Impact, Supertards. Yeah, no, at least on Superstars was with him. I don't know if it's going to last. I mean, I don't know. I mean, just because something happened on Superstars doesn't mean it's going to mean a thing anywhere
else.
That's
right.
That doesn't mean, and I'm not just talking about the idea of Michael Hayes with Tyson Kidd. I'm talking the ideas of managers. I really will believe it when I see it. Vince McMahon, I suppose the good thing is if he takes a Michael Hayes, I don't know if he really has to pay him anymore to put him on TV to do this role. because, I mean, that is one thing. He doesn't want to increase his – he doesn't want to pay more money to have managers.
No, well, the thing is with – but for the first time in ages, Vince is actually open to the idea of discussing it. And they're talking about, you know, you've got Michael Cole with Jack Swagger, you know, as a possible sort of managerial mouthpiece.
Well, who are the five people? You brought up, I think, five or six people in your blog.
Well, the other,
a really good blog.
The other person that
everyone I recommend it.
That the Observer said is under consideration is Arn Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
One of the, you know, talking about legendary promos and Michael Hayes, Arn Anderson also is, you know, very similar. The way I was talking to my blog was that I like to see not just individual managers, but stables. Right, guys that have got a crew of people. So I'd like to see Michael Hayes be able to expand beyond Tyson Kidd and really, you know, manage multiple people. But then when we talk about five, I was talking about Arn Anderson, Michael Hayes, Michael Cole. As I mentioned, Michael Hayes is going to have to change his name because they already have a Michael.
Oh, P.S. Hayes.
And Vicky Guerrero.
Or Doc Hendricks.
Vicky Guerrero. You know, can expand and stay there. And then I brought up the only name I really brought in out from outside is Abraham Washington.
Abraham Washington. He's an excellent talker.
He's still in Florida.
Well, yeah, because he is an excellent talker. He can't wrestle, and he's not as good as a talk show host. Luckily, it was an ECW, so nobody saw that.
Yes.
The Abraham Washington show.
Still, that was horrible, right?
Yeah, it was terrible. But you know what? It was scripted material. It wasn't letting Abraham Washington's skills be used to their maximum potential. He could be a very good manager. Those five, I have no issue with any of those five. I could say this. I think Arn Anderson might be the guy who I would put as, if you're going to have one babyface manager, I would probably have him as the babyface manager.
Well, you know who I look at Arn Anderson as a stable of guys, of the big burly guys, like a Tyler Rex.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I said, I don't think you do. I was never a fan of the babyface manager. I never was. So, to me, I look at, if you're going to give Arn Anderson, you give Arn Anderson the big bruisers that can't talk, you give Michael Hayes the flamboyant, cocky guys, and, you know, and Vicky can really align herself with anybody because she's going to kind of be a heat magnet there.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing with Cole, right?
And same
Cole
with same
out of those.
Michael
yeah,
Cole.
Cole.
Yeah,
out of
well,
that
Michael
position.
Cole, I look at Michael Cole, if you're going to do it, is in the not to compare him to the all-time great, but in the Bobby Heenan role, the main event manager, mm-hmm. as it were. The guy that's bringing up, you know, if Alex Riley ever fucks off, then you can have Michael Cole with The Miz and Michael Cole with Jack Swagger, and he can be the guy that goes up against John Cena, let's say, as your top babyface, right? And then you have, you know, Michael Hayes again with the cocky flamboyant guys that can send guys after, say, like a Kofi Kingston or something that way, and then you've got your Vicky Guerrero, who's just going to have, again, the more, I don't say more random people, but there doesn't have to be a thing.
I think what you do with Vicky is you kind of give her the idea that you have right now with Dolph Ziggler. Give her young guys who are, you know, kind of
the Sensational Sherry role.
Well, not even, yeah. Well, I suppose the Sensational Sherry role, but, yeah, I mean, young, like, the Dolph Ziggler's her boyfriend, so to speak, right?
Right.
And it give her that kind of the young, I don't know, sexy type of Rick Rude type character. Give her those people that it's like
found,
it's
you,
just
you,
the,
you,
simply
you,
the
you found
the,
Rick Rude sexy, did you?
Well,
okay. I'm just
all the men want to be him. Wasn't that it?
I don't,
is it him?
Was it good? No, I don't think so.
No. All right. Anyways, but the idea is that you put these people just that contrast of the woman, the cougar, with her young stable of, you know,
yeah.
I think you could do that. I mean, I love the idea because I think their theory was we don't need managers anymore because we're scripting the promos now, so anybody can be a good promo.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is the delivery is still just the
you
delivery.
You need to have someone
and
to deliver,
I think
yeah.
it's okay to have one baby face manager because there will be some baby faces who can't cut a promo. And in the day, you would have Bobby Heenan with guys like Rick Rude who are terrific promos and him cutting promos for them anyways because it just added to the act. It didn't take away from it.
Unless,
it didn't
yeah.
act, it didn't
unless you ask Rick Rude that question. A lot of heat there.
Yeah?
He didn't like Heenan. It's not that he didn't like Heenan personally. He didn't like
Heenan.
He didn't
think he needed him.
He didn't think he needed him. No.
And in some ways he didn't. And same thing for a guy like Mr. Perfect, right? But,
that's right.
But it enhanced the act is what it did. And it didn't take away from it, for at least in my opinion.
Well, what
so,
it did is it gave the rub of, again, Heenan was the main event. Yeah. So it allowed immediately in aligning yourself with Heenan.
And there was they did get a lot of guys who couldn't talk with him, like guys like Hercules, right?
Yeah, precisely. You had guys like Hercules, but I mean, it wasn't always that way, as you mentioned, with Rick Rude that could talk, and Perfect that could talk, and hell, Anderson and Blanchard as the Brainbusters, they could talk, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, here we are talking about Arn Anderson talking four guys now. So
yeah,
I'm encouraged that the idea is at least on the table. I'm like you, I'd rather believe it when I see it and getting off, and for Michael Hayes, like, and Tyson Kidd, when they get off Superstars on the internet, then I'll take it a little more seriously as well. But you know what? It's
a good start.
It's an experiment.
They're probably between house shows and Superstars and things like this. What you're doing is you're essentially you're just gauging the audience reaction to the concept, and so hopefully it'll take off. But also you have I like the idea that that, like I say, Tyson Kidd with the SmackDown head writer. That's awesome for him personally in his career, mm-hmm. and a career mm-hmm. boost.
Yep.
I had mentioned to you. Off air here, there's three other names that I think of when I think of managers like this. Alejandro, how do you say it? Estrada,
yeah.
Yeah,
Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Yeah, bring him back because I think he was really, really good. He was underutilized. Yeah. He was over. Why not have him? The other names were William Regal.
Yeah. See, and I was looking at when I was doing on my blog, I really kept with people that are currently in the company, so nobody you had to bring in. William Regal definitely. You think of William Regal managing, say, Drew McIntyre and Sheamus.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Taking a European stable.
Yeah, because right? Drew McIntyre can't talk, Sheamus can, but it would be great. It would be a European stable. I had actually suggested on my blog on the roster a couple weeks ago. Actually, I would like to have seen a heel Daniel Bryan with William Regal, and I think that could still work. As a coach, a manager, he could still work in that way. Because he has a stronger promo ability than Daniel Bryan, but also I could see William Regal on SmackDown with guys like Khali and Mark Henry, Ezekiel Jackson, Cassius Clay, your big, heavy, and then he's the guy who can actually wrestle, but you never get to him, and when you finally do, and you think you're going to have this easy match, then you actually got the guy who's the skillful wrestler, who's the head of the group. So, I mean, that's another way to go at it. Like I said, a Bobby Heenan.
See, well, that's the one that I like Arn Anderson for, the big bruisers.
Tyler
Rex
too.
And Brodeus Clay.
And then if you're going to bring in managers, you might as well bring in the best manager probably of the 2000s, and a guy who's unemployed and guy who tried out for FCW, but they didn't understand that he was a manager and just basically took his money. But the incredibly talented Sinister Mister, James Mitchell.
Sinister Minister, even.
Sinister Minister.
Not a Sinister Mister.
No, Sinister. That's what I said, you Nimrod.
Hmm? Mister.
Sinister Minister James Mitchell. He's awesome. And he's out there, and
would he come in with a karaoke gimmick?
I would hope so, because that would also rule. Well, the dude could sing.
Yeah.
Seriously. But if you're not familiar with him, go look up the Sinister Minister. He was in ECW. He was in TNA. He managed Abyss for a long time.
Don't look him up in TNA.
Don't look up the matches, but look up his promos for Abyss.
Don't look anything up in TNA. Don't
YouTube it.
Don't promote them at all.
Okay, they don't exist anymore, so it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Only Impact Wrestling exists.
Fucking hate
so they can look up TNA because they're gone.
I hate them.
But ECW, even he had some time in WCW as well. But unfortunately, he was in charge of a shitty stable and a shitty angle. But he was
Where?
There too. WCW.
Yeah,
Blood Runs WCW. Cold.
Oh, Wrath and Mortis. The Blood Runs Cold. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
James Vandenberg.
That's right.
Yes.
But the guy's awesome. Great talent. So I would hope to see
definitely
him return.
Definitely a great talent. Yeah, that would be tremendous, actually. I'm still spitballing all over this. I'm loving this William Regal European stable thing. That's a great idea.
The more I think about it, yeah,
Wade
that's
Barrett,
awesome.
You know?
You can even put a David Hart Smith with him, right? Because, I mean, he's the son
thing,
of the British Bulldog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff you could do with that. I love that idea.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's...
We got no power.
No, we don't. We really don't. Do you have anything else to say about managers?
Like I say, I hope that they don't confuse managers with valets. if they're going to go in this direction. If there's one last thing that I want to say, because that is something they did in the past.
Well, and Vince Russo did that. Let's be honest about
that.
Well,
yeah, Vince Russo did that, but they've stuck with it. So having a valet can also be useful. Like Maryse would be good as a heel valet with Miz, for instance. But
that's right.
You don't want a bunch of them, and because you don't too many of them takes away from.
You know what?
From
I would actually like Maryse.
Kelly would be another one as a baby face.
I think
Kelly could play the Elizabeth role, right?
I guess. Yeah. But she's an exhibitionist. Maryse, I like almost as your Medusa type situation in the Dangerous Alliance, where it's almost like the stables valet. So you could have, say, Cole managing, you know, like Swagger and Miz and maybe somebody else, and then you've got Maryse there with Miz as well to second them. So you could almost have both Cole and Maryse coming down with Miz.
Speaking of Maryse, I just want to say this. Karma now is still showing up on both brands, but now attacking heels and faces, even going after Cole.
Well, it's kind of staring at Cole, and I think Cole would be a great manager for Karma.
That'd be excellent.
As the mouthpiece.
Oh, yeah. Because I don't think Karma should. That'd be fantastic. Because she's been shitting all over the women's division here since pre-Mania.
That's
so
right.
That makes sense.
And Karma shouldn't speak.
And Karma shouldn't speak.
So I think Cole doing the talking for her, saying, you know, like I've been talking all about, you know, all these this waste of time that I see in the ring every Monday night with these women, and this is what I've done to solve that problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, which I think would be tremendous. And I don't know if, you know, you could still sort of save it, even though she almost kind of went after him, is that that's the light bulb that went off in Cole's brain there, saying,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know, I was going about this all wrong, and I've got this now. So that's lots of possibilities. As I mentioned in the blog, the big thing that gives me some residual hope about this is that should you take managers seriously, then that can help put a re-emphasis back on the titles.
Absolutely.
Because the manager wants to manage champions.
Yeah.
And so you can not only the Intercontinental in the U.S., but there's the tag titles, right? And then the world title, of course, or the WWE title. So to me, that would help, in theory, help promote and get some...
Well, there's three things they can immediately do to increase the value of the titles, in my opinion. Number one, when you have those managers who want to have that guy with the belt in his stable.
The champion.
They like showing that off. They like coming... That makes... That it gives some prestige to it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is to have less titles. Simply having, you know, I mean, I would like to see just the European... There's the one tag title. I would like to see... I mean, you can't have... To keep saying you have two world champions at the same time to me is ridiculous. To get, you know, U.S. and Intercontinental, so you could have less titles. That's another thing. But probably the big one is also defend them on every single pay-per-view or build them up over. If you are going to defend them on TV, build them up over 2 to 3 weeks, just to create some prestige for the titles.
Well, that's the thing. Yes, I don't put them on TV. I just put it on pay-per-view only.
Essentially,
is the way that I would do it. But no, you're right. So, do you have a topic, Mo?
I have many topics, but let's go with this one.
Okay.
When do you think, Christian, you know, a lot of people, Dave Meltzer, put it this way, Dave Meltzer is a hell of a lot smarter than me. He's smarter than me. He's more hooked into wrestling than me and everything.
And then
then both of I. No, both of us. Both of me. Anyways, Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer said that it was a last-minute decision to put that belt on Christian. But I went back and I watched Christian's promo from right before Extreme Rules when he won the belt. And I'm not so sure that they never told him he was going to get the belt and lose it the next defense against Randy Orton when he cut that promo, because the wording is so perfect.
But, I mean, when you say last minute, what do you make last minute?
Last minute is 1 minute before the match.
Well, that's true, too. That's true. But, I mean, I have no problem in believing that last minute is actually... you know, it was Tuesday before, you know, the pay-per-view, which would be, what, 5 days before the pay-per-view?
We haven't heard Christian actually bitching about this. I mean, Christian, you know.
Well, no, he's smarter than that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully. Well,
he's pretty much kept his mouth shut. I think when you go back, I think this is a storyline they've had in place for a while. I think he knew when he cut that promo. The wording is just so perfect for this storyline.
Well, is this a situation where if Edge hadn't gotten hurt, are they just plugging Randy Orton into Edge's spot?
It's possible.
And that Edge was going to win the title back from his buddy Christian the next you know, in his first title defense, it would be SmackDown would have been Edge versus Christian, and Edge would have won his title back, and then, you know, what could have gone on from there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, maybe not even this soon if Edge had been healthy, because it still would have been Edge against Del Rio in a ladder match, right? We wouldn't have had this injury angle thing, but you could have played it off maybe in a couple months. So I'm not sure that Randy Orton just isn't assuming the Edge role.
That's very possible,
in this,
too.
Right?
Yeah. And another thing I want to say about now they put Randy Orton and Christian versus each other at over the limit. I almost want to say over the edge.
Nope.
But thank God it's not that.
Nope.
So what do you think of that? We talked about SummerSlam. We talked about Mania. Now they're putting it together so shortly after. What do you think of Orton and Christian in a rematch?
Well, yeah, that's part of the... I mean, unless it's part of the storyline that Christian, you know, lost it right away... Again, if you're doing this fucking match at the pay-per-view, why don't you just leave the belt on Christian? You know, what does that hurt? But, again, if it is part of the story that, you know, he's never successfully defended the title, they ended SmackDown with them shaking hands, you know, because they're, you know, were the partners there. Orton now in full beard to come in.
Yeah.
But it's something, I don't know, I said this match, it seems to me in... If they blow it off, then it's stupid.
There's a possibility they're just giving Christian this shot because he's the logical guy right now, till they can get someone like a Mark Henry built up or Sheamus built up to the point where he can take on Orton. Or it could be part of a longer storyline.
Well, that's the thing. It can go one of two ways, and there's really no in between. This is going to be a very polarizing match at Over the Limit. Is it either going to be very good or very bad?
The match itself should be very good.
Well, I don't mean the match. I mean the outcome, though.
It's either
they've blown it off, very bad. It's part of a bigger picture angle where Christian is going to snap and turn heel, very good, right? Because then he's a main event heel. And so that would be good. So, I mean, I don't see Christian winning the belt at Over the Limit.
No, I don't either.
I just see him, as I said, to the smart way to do it, in my opinion, is just, again, he loses, he's frustrated, and he snaps. And maybe he doesn't even snap then, but it's all sort of the seeds are planted that, you know, maybe they still team up a couple times. You know, we talked about the Benedict Arnold of the World Wrestling Federation in Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
Mm-hmm.
You can play it very much like that in that, you know, as Orton really has that that sort of cold personality of the Viper that, you know, they'll partner. And you've seen more softness or likability out of Orton lately since he's come over to SmackDown, where he's kind of smiling, he's shaking hands, he's, you know, he's...
He looked concerned for Christian after beating him for belt.
Exactly. Yeah. He's looking like, you know, he's got some emotion back to him. And you can play on that where he is showing more emotion, but Christian can go back to you care about no one but yourself and da 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 da, and he said eventually get frustrated and turn on him and maybe win the belt as a heel for Orton to chase somewhere down the road. But
yeah, now this is what I would do. I'd probably have Christian go head to head with Orton at this pay per view, back and forth. Have it go like a good half hour. Have Christian come unbelievably close to winning and just not be good enough to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So then the concept is that if he turned heel because, say, if he had attacked him ahead of the match and then had that same match, if Orton had gone in not 100%, he would have been good enough to do it. And you can play that up. That would be fantastic. I want to talk about, if you don't mind, I'm going to based on this, I want to take off a couple other subjects that are related to this.
Okay.
Number one.
Edge is his brother.
Well, yeah, face versus face matches.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on that? Because, I mean, this is one we're looking at.
I like them.
We see them more often now, certainly. You like them. Go ahead. Why?
Because they're two guys that I like, and they're fighting, and that is good. No, I don't have a problem with them being attraction matches. You think of throughout time, the Hogan against Warrior, Warrior against Savage and Brett against Davey from Wembley Stadium, both on that same show there where they're both babyface. But if you can take two The way that it works to me is if you take to Highway to Hell, right? Even though it later sort of came out that Taker was
Taker turned
heel.
He was face
a little bit after that, though.
Yeah,
he was a face
exactly.
during the match, right?
He was a face, and then immediately coming out of that, he teamed with Kane, basically. And you wonder why he didn't do it beforehand, but that's okay. That's all right. It was a great.
But anyway, that was a face to face. But if you could take two kind of iconic figures or the big names.
Well,
I guess,
Hulk Hogan, name me another face versus face match you ever had. I mean, that's why it was so big, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't something you saw very often. I mean, and on the other hand, Bret Hart had so many face versus. He was the only guy.
Virgil.
He was the only. Well, yeah, Virgil. 1-2-3 Kid, Roddy Piper, Diesel, Undertaker.
Yeah.
You know, this guy. We talk about Davey Boy already.
Davey Boy, yeah.
Bret Hart for years was the only guy, Shawn Michaels, when Shawn was both him or babyface at Mania, right? I mean, Bret Hart was the only guy, even...
That's true. He probably had. He did have the most, obviously.
He had the most.
I mean,
he was the only guy for a long time. You could put up against another babyface.
Mm-hmm. Like
and
Virgil.
Not have to... Yeah, exactly. Like Virgil. Yeah. Well, somebody over. Or like Bob Backlund. But he was somebody you could put up against other baby faces. He had more than anybody else that you could put him up against another baby face, and he could work a feud that was logical and would still get heat. I can't think of anybody in history who's ever been successfully be able to take as many baby face matchups as Bret Hart did. And it actually makes you think about how they talk about how Bret Hart wasn't as big a draw as, say, a Hulk Hogan. Well, Hulk Hogan had the big heels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bret Hart never actually, if you look at this, it becomes pretty obvious he didn't have those heels to go against. If you think about the great heels.
He had the King of the Ring match against Mr. Perfect, too, the second round match.
That was face versus face. Even he took on, I believe, in the first round of that, didn't he take on Razor Ramon? That was face versus face at that time, because Razor had turned.
Maybe, yeah.
It was.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
yeah.
This guy was able to do this. I mean, Hulk, other than Owen Hart when Owen Hart turned.
Sounds like shitty booking
and
to me,
Stone,
actually. But.
Well, it is. But other than Owen Hart and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yokozuna.
It wasn't a big draw with him and Yokozuna,
it
right?
It wasn't, no. But it wasn't a big draw with him against...
Him and Owen. But you think about the great heels Bret Hart had. He didn't have it. Even Shawn Michaels, when Shawn Michaels was a heel and faced Bret, it wasn't Shawn Michaels wasn't that hot. So...
Bah. The screw job, yeah, he was.
Well, at the screw job, I was talking about originally when he was, you know, the...
In 1992, you
Survivor
mean.
Series,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was still early.
The screw job, he was over as a heel, but then it was heel versus heel, really, right? So,
Not in Montreal, where it was. Even then,
you know what I'm saying.
I know what you mean,
In a draw, so, yeah. and it was built up more as a real life... These guys
well, that was the thing when Bret was
18-month build.
Bret was sort of the part of after the steroid trial where it was more about competition, wrestling mattered then.
Wrestling mattered, but you know what? If we look back on his legacy, maybe he should get a little bit of credit for being the guy who was able to consistently face other faces. Yeah. And get something out of it. That isn't brought up
A lot, but it's a valid point. But I do think that he does get credit for being able to have great matches with so many different styles. Mm-hmm. And I think when you talk about different styles, you got to sort of periphery there is that face versus face dynamic as a style, because it is definitely a different in the style of match when you're talking
Absolutely.
About the heat spots and the comebacks and the shines and, you know, just the way that the crowd is going to react. I mean, you listen to that Wembley. I mean, really, Davey Boy went in as the face because it was in Wembley Stadium. So he didn't – well, he didn't really – he worked as the heel somewhat.
Bret was a subtle heel in the match.
Subtle, and in the promo leading up to –
But he wasn't doing major heel things to get the heat. It's just that when he did something – the way he would react would get the heat.
Well, it was similar to Rock Hogan in that WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
Where it flipped around and they were doing it. And technically, you could maybe say that we're both baby faces
because Hogan he upstaged Rock and didn't play his role. He did that to Rock. I mean, he
oh, yeah.
You know.
But it was
an underhanded move by Hogan, but I mean, that's
what?
Hogan.
From Hogan?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But, I do think that they can work, and I think that it's something that you're right. I think Bret Hart Bret Hart, the most successful face-versus-face wrestler
in history.
In history, yeah. I mean, outside of maybe Jim Londis.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get over to one other thing that is related to Bret Hart and Christian while we're talking about this.
Canada?
No.
Tampa.
Getting over by losing. We talk about Bret came out of Wembley Stadium and that match against the Bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
He lost the match and was a bigger star than the Bulldog coming out of that match by far because he lost the match and how he lost.
Well, he wasn't fucked up.
Well, that's true. That's true. But he was to the fans a bigger star, and then that got
because he won the title like
such
a month later.
There was such an emotional uplift to him that he won the title shortly after, right?
Yeah.
The world title. And you've seen it in history. You've seen people who lose. I mean, when Hulk Hogan lost to the Warrior, it probably got him over more than the Warrior in many ways.
Well, because they focused on Hogan, talking about dick moves. You know, it was Hulkamania will live forever. He's immortal. They kept the camera on Hogan. It was about Hogan presenting the belt. It wasn't ever about... The post-match was not the Warrior. The post-match was Hogan. So that's how Hogan was able to get over more by losing, is it's all a matter of what you're going to focus on.
You've
it's similar to what we talked about a little while with when we actually saw the SmackDown match and Randy Orton beating Christian.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger story wasn't that Randy Orton won the match or the title. It was that Christian lost it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Can Christian get over, if he loses this over the limit
mm-hmm.
match to Orton, can he still stay a babyface and get more over because he's losing? It is possible if it's done right. We've seen it with Brett. You saw it with Shawn Michaels at times where he would lose and got more over losing.
As long as they don't turn it into the angle, right, is that he loses.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's death. Right
there's a careful, this guy's so close and he's an underdog and we want to cheer for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, this guy's a loser, let's give up
on him.
Well,
see, that's very hard and I don't trust anybody, even Michael Hayes, to pull this off, is that that can work, mm-hmm. but your timing just has to be, like, bang on. Like, he's got to win the belt when the sympathy is just at its peak.
Yeah, that's right.
And sadly, I think he did win the title when his sympathy was at his peak.
That's possible, with
the shift for Edge having to retire and his good buddy is going to go in and do this, I think that was the moment. And I don't know that him getting oh so close and losing and losing and losing and then finally winning, that you're going to be able to recreate that moment, which is why I think Christian does have to get frustrated, snap, and be the heel.
There is a difference between, like you say, the Bret Hart lose, and get more over until you win, or the Chris Benoit, you know, having the great match with Kurt Angle at the Royal Rumble,
mm-hmm.
lose until he finally
wins it. Standing ovation, yep.
Right? And that I mean, it has happened, though. He got more over
Eddie
losing.
Eddie Guerrero.
Got more over losing.
Yeah, and then finally, again, took it from Brock, right?
But there is also the Rey Mysterio. You're losing, and, oh, you know what, you're really just not quite good enough at that top level.
Well, exactly, right?
So it's a real careful balance.
Or you know, any of the other heel losing streaks that they've ever done. Christian included had one, you know, when DDP was mentoring him, you know, and he was throwing the temper tantrums. Just, you know, that did nothing for him. So, and the Ted DiBiase's and there was another losing streak that they did too for a heel, and it went nowhere. I know
MVP,
MVP Carlito. I mean, you just kind of. There was another one in recent on Raw, right before Sheamus, and
Sheamus hasn't recovered yet.
No,
I mean even switching brands.
I mean,
didn't he take the pin this last in this tag match at the
I believe previous? So. Yeah, with Sheamus, it was something that it didn't kill him, but it didn't help him.
No.
You know. So
okay. I'll let you have the next subject. I have something else related to this, but you go.
Okay, well,
I'm not going to go too much longer here. So
yeah, well, I wanted to mention very quickly because I've got one, and then we've got a question that we want to answer for one of our mailbag question that we've been kind of.
I got a few actually.
Yeah, we do.
Bags,
so
that's cool.
John Morrison.
Why don't you give our mailbag? Why don't you give our address?
Well, yeah, it's wetalkwrestling@aim.com or tweet it to us too at twitter.com/wetalkwrestling. Or wetalkwrestling.podomatic.com is where you can find the podcast, and pwjournal.wordpress.com is when you can read all about us and actually catch some of our shows there too. So
and you can also read us on Blogspot. We Talk Wrestling on Blogspot, where you posted the one about the managers. I have one about writers trying too hard to be creative instead of just letting people be what they are.
That's right.
And if you're ever going to read any of my blogs, I hope you read that one. I was actually pretty proud of it.
That's excellent, and it's up right now at We Talk Wrestling Blogspot.com and pwjournal.wordpress.com.
Right.
So Now that you've interrupted me, I want to talk about John Morrison just quickly. He's out for seemingly months just with his neck
I've now heard between 6 and 8 weeks.
So yeah, I was going to say
we're getting conflicting reports that he didn't need surgery now, so that he'll be out shorter. So we had heard really long time and now not so long. So
that's
right. We'll see how that plays out.
Apparently it's Trish Stratus's fault.
Oh, yeah?
That's what Melina and John Morrison believe, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, it's not really her fault, but they'll blame her. They have a tendency to do that.
They do. They really they do. So anyway, so now R-Truth is swapped over to Rey Mysterio to kind of fill that void and probably have that match at Over the Limit, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it looks like it.
And,
yeah.
And I think actually in terms of – I'm a big fan, in case people don't haven't noticed, of a slower build product of things being stretched out. So with John Morrison being out and R-Truth putting him out in storyline, for John Morrison to return in, you know, in two pay-per-views probably from now, say a Money at the Bank, I think it would be maybe. But whatever the pay-per-view or Capital Combat or there's some other – name in June. But anyway, whatever the pay-per-view, two pay-per-views from now, doing that, coming back, and then, you know, the perfect scenario is them coming back, him coming back, costing R-Truth, maybe even the title against John Cena at that Capital whatever pay-per-view in June, both of them then going next month into the Money in the Bank to their feud, and then to settle the feud at the SummerSlam in August.
That'd be fantastic.
And you've got
if
a whole summer
back
build.
That early.
If he is able to come back in six weeks.
If he can't come back that early, then what you do is you simply put Truth over Rey Mysterio strong so that he can go and challenge Cena. And you have as the number one contender. Then I mean, you do that, and you know, and you have Miz versus Rey or something like that coming out of it.
Still is Alberto Del Rio there too, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, but you know, I mean, so basically, I mean, no matter what, Truth should continue to get a good push coming out of this. And Morrison, no matter when he comes back, if he's gone, hopefully, I mean, no matter what he's gone, people will hopefully pop for him the second he comes back as a big star returning.
That's right.
So I mean, you have things set up there. You just have to be patient. You have to have some long term focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
As the roster depth, I mean, one more chance for them to bring Zack Ryder into the mix.
Woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, I hope so. Spike
you know
your
it.
Hair.
But, well, he's back with Curt Hawkins now.
That's right.
He got a big win over Vladimir Kozlov on Superstars.
Because he's still a heel, even though everyone loves him.
Who?
Zack Ryder.
Oh, I thought Kozlov.
No.
Oh, he's a babyface, isn't he?
He's a babyface, and no one loves him.
No, that's true. All right. Yeah. Well, as I said, I mentioned that mailbag question, so I want to get to the mailbag question here. It was sent to us, it was tweeted to me by the Coy Baker, and on a side note, the Coy Baker had some Achilles tendon surgery. But he's on the mend and doing well, and it didn't sound like it was going to be a long recovery, so we hope you're getting better.
He's listened to all our shows, hasn't he?
Has
he mentioned that?
He did.
Really
he's a loyal listener, yes.
Very much appreciate that. Appreciate anybody's listen. You guys have actually been really good to us. Our popularity's gone up here in the last couple of weeks by exploded, and thank you very much for that.
Yes, no, we appreciate all of our listeners, the new, the old, and we do invite you, if you are a newer listener, to go back and check out some of our past shows with some of our guests.
You'll absolutely have some great laughs.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the Coy Baker, and he asked he's basically talking about how pro wrestling has good people in it that WWE isn't taking advantage of. And his example is Seth Rollins, who most people know as Tyler Black, who's great in the ring. He's from, you know, came from ROH, had that experience, but he got, you know, immediately put, instead of coming up the roster, immediately put in FCW and now seemingly sort of forgotten about.
Well, I mean, Daniel Bryan was in FCW. I mean, Alberto Del Rio, right? Yeah, I mean, that's not necessarily depth. I mean, Seth Rollins, Tyler Black, 6'2", about 225, so kind of a little bit taller than a CM Punk, but kind of that build, right?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a thin guy. So, you know, not their ideal build, but certainly in great shape. And a terrific in-ring performer.
I was going to say, he can work, right?
Yeah, he can work. And not a bad promo in ROH from when I watched him. You know, he's all right. So they're not using him, but they have never historically, I mean, how many times over the years have you been going, God, I wish they would just push them? I mean, Jesus, 6 months ago, a year ago, I was going, God, I wish they would just push Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so this isn't something new, a new phenomenon for the Fed at all.
No, but it's something that when you're looking at you know, someone that has that you know, already built-in experience. With the Florida Championship Wrestling is, you know, if you've got
but
people
but not
that
in WWE style.
Well, no, that's fine. But how long has Seth Rollins, a.k.a. Tyler Black, has it been a year?
Was he around at the final battle, I believe, in December?
It could be that was his final.
I can't remember if that was his last match. I think it was.
Okay.
So.
Well, no, all I remember is when NXT was season 3 going to be, before they went to the, I think that's the one that was all the chicks, is that was sort of the thing that they were talking about. Maybe he would get in, or even in the first NXT, I think they were talking about it.
Yeah, right? I mean, and by the third NXT, I think they were deciding that they had already brought Loki and Bryan in.
Yeah.
Didn't want a third ROH guy.
See, and I thought that
they
was
didn't want
be...
to turn it into their, they didn't want that to be their gimmick, so to speak, of NXT.
Yeah, dude, that would be too bad.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
Tyler Black, how long has he been down there? It's got to have been over a year or
I guess
a year.
Maybe it might be been the previous year final
yeah.
battle.
So it's one that, you know, so how fucking long does it take to learn this quote-unquote WWE style?
Well, I mean, according to the WWE, it took Chris Jericho almost 2.5 years, right?
Well, that was according to WWE. That was just according to one big-nosed person that actually has some pull in WWE right now.
Well, I mean, it was according to even Chris Jericho would go back and say it. I mean, there is something to that style. And there is also something to them seeing that you are of the – I mean, I'm not sure – I'm not saying I agree with it, but just in their the way they run things, there's something to do with them – putting you through the paces and seeing that you're mentally tough enough and want to stick through
it. Okay, well, yeah, that's fine. But we're talking about a depth issue now. And, you know, how are guys going to get over?
But, okay, we're talking about a depth issue now. How many guys, if we were to go on the Raw roster, okay, mm-hmm. let's say we go on the Raw roster from last, and we look at who was used on last Monday night. Do you think, just talking the male superstars, not even talking the female superstars, what percentage of that roster was actually used? 50%? I mean, there's a lot of guys that you talk about a depth issue. One of the ways you could have increase the feeling that there's more depth on the roster would be to spend the next 2 months when you have such a depth issue actually putting everybody on the goddamn show every single week.
The goddamn show.
Yeah, well, yeah, and Raw is a goddamn show this last week for sure because it bored the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something you can do. I mean, you don't have to sit there and talk about how they have a depth issue and they need to bring people up. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but how about just using everybody who's on your show and giving everybody a role? I mean, basically, yeah, is JTG going to be a superstar? Probably not. Is he going to win a lot of matches? Probably not. But put him on TV, give him a role, highlight him, and if he gets over, then push him up. But if you don't put him on TV and you don't see that and you don't consistently do it for 2 months and go, you know what, it's okay, we're going to have an interview with JTG and we know he might lose some ratings, but it's a long, short-term thing for a long-term gain, and he's just one example. If you're only using 50% of your roster on Raw and SmackDown every single week, then the perceived roster depth is going to be much lower. I'm not saying that they shouldn't bring Seth Rollins up, but don't just bring him up and have him job out because you have no idea.
No, but my point is, would you rather have JTG or would you rather have Seth Rollins?
I'd rather have both. I'd rather have both on
TV
regularly.
That wasn't the question.
No, that is the answer. I would like to see both guys. I'd like to see I'd like to see everybody who has talent on TV regularly, getting a spot, giving a chance to get their personality over. I mean, back one thing you have to say.
So you don't want to see JTG.
Back one thing you have to say in the Attitude Era, in 1998, basically everybody, even if it was only for like a minute or two, basically everybody was on TV every single week. And so you had an idea of their gimmick, and then they would rotate the guys in the ring. You know, even if it was just a guy walking back.
You say that like a good thing.
But, well, it can be a good thing if it's paced well, if it's properly done. You know,
if
I mean,
it's paced well.
Hey, did you enjoy wrestling in 1998 more than you enjoy it right now?
Well, I do.
Shut the fuck up, then.
I do, but the reason that I did is that they tried to put in, and I mean, and part of it is, I mean, you talk about how everybody on there for little brief snippets of time. I don't remember that as necessarily being the case. I just remember that every segment had a purpose. And as you said, it wasn't that they brought, it wasn't like Impact, where they had a five-hour show in 2 hours,
no.
Where they brought everybody in. It was the fact that every segment had a purpose. There was
You should never have somebody like Primo not be on TV for 4 months and then take on Sin Cara. You should never go more than 3 weeks without being on TV in a match or a segment in some way. 2 weeks, ideally. It doesn't even have to be every single week. But if you do this, then the roster depth will, and like I say, that'll actually give people a chance to emerge their personalities.
See, I disagree. I think every 3 weeks is probably good for a mid-card. And again, because what I'm looking at, what I'm hoping for, what I like to see is more...
I think if it's every three weeks, you can't necessarily judge whether or not they're getting over, because it's not often enough.
No, but that's... I'm not saying it everybody. I'm not saying John Cena every 3 weeks. I'm saying Primo every 3 weeks, JTG every 3 weeks. If Primo is got an issue with JTG because Primo jumped JTG from behind unprovoked in the back and cut his dreadlock thing off, his cornrow, whatever the heck, hair off.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, JTG gets his revenge because Primo's out, and then, you know, then they continue the angle, maybe spotting it every 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's
that
fine.
They've got it. That's fine. But that's what I'm saying is that for...
And that's actually better if you're rotating the guys in
between. That's what I'm saying. You're rotating the lower guys in with
Tyler Rex gets drafted over, but he hasn't been on Raw yet. I mean, why hasn't he been on Raw? Why don't we know about him? Why aren't you telling us about him? Why isn't he cutting a promo? It only takes to be 30 seconds for him to sit there going, I'm Tyler Rex.
It might be interesting that you just were Tyler Rex and cutting.
Well, just have the guy come out there and go, I'm Tyler Rex, I'm big, I'm mean, and I'm going to smash somebody's face.
I'm Tyler Rex,
man. It's not difficult. Like, it's so,
easy, yes.
Yeah, it is easy. Yeah, it is my mom. Wait. Yes.
It's easy like Sunday morning, baby.
Tell me you didn't just say that.
I will also... I wanted to briefly touch base. We were talking about developmental. Is it kind of ties in? Some of these tryouts that guys are getting. These free agents is Shelton Benjamin got one tryout. Sean Daivari got a tryout. Trevor Murdoch actually did the Raw and SmackDown loop last week. So, you know, a couple things there. So what do you think about them giving
I'm going to say this. Okay, you're talking about those guys. I got an email actually on this from Harry Palm Smith. Harry Palm Smith in Leeds, England, and he asked us about the free agents out there and who we would bring in. And if there's anybody out there who's worthwhile. And so we're going to say this. Okay, there's Batista and Jericho, and that's a different thing.
I would like Batista to job to Primo in a tryout dark match.
Wouldn't mind that at all. But that is a different thing. Jericho coming back, though, could come back. I think Jericho could come back for 5 years. I'm hoping to write a blog about Jericho coming back here in the near future. Batista, if he comes back, maybe is a year or two because he's more muscle mass, he has more injuries, he's already 42.
Yeah.
So he's actually a couple years older than – he would be a short-term thing. Jericho could come back long-term. But, yeah, if you talk about who's out there as far as roster depth, you brought up three names, Daivari, Murdoch, and Benjamin. Who else is out there?
The Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah. Who else is out there?
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah. And who else? No, there are guys out there. There's MVPs out there.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I guess there is MVP that's out there.
Loki.
There's Loki. You're talking about these guys that are living in Japan.
Giant Bernard.
I look at A-Train. Yeah, I was going to say A-Train is a guy that I would look at. You said Trevor Murdoch is another guy that I was really...
Hoss and Benjamin.
Yeah, there is Hoss and Benjamin.
Rhino.
There's... trying to think of...
We're not looking at guys who are going to go main event right away, but guys that fill out that roster depth, because there's so many green guys.
I mean, Daivari is another one. I mean, Carlito out there.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about these guys. But again, I don't know about... To me, is do we fill the roster depth out Val Venus with guys like that?
Rene Dupree?
Rene Dupree, really.
Is Napoleon... he's wrestling... I think it's not Napoleon Bonaparte. Something Bonaparte in Japan.
Yeah.
If you look at him now, he's like... The guy started wrestling when he was 14. He's like 27 now.
Yeah.
He was like 21 when he was on TV. It was all those years ago. He's continued to wrestle in Japan. He's all tatted up now. He has a completely different look.
Yeah, he does. He does.
So, you know, he'd be an interesting guy to bring back. You don't have to reference what was out there before.
No.
He's young. He's from a family of wrestlers.
Yeah.
There's guys out there
There's
like
Grenier,
that.
You know, Sylvain Grenier
no.
is out there.
No. No. Well, actually, maybe is Pat Patterson lonely? Yeah.
But, I mean, there are guys out there that could fill the roster. To me,
So give me your top four. Who will you bring in?
I would bring in A-Train.
Okay.
I would bring in Rene Dupree,
yep.
as you said. I would, and I'm trying to think of if there's anybody else that's really... out there that I can, you know, I can't think of,
can't
of
think
anything.
Of
that, because what I would do is, I'd, there, to me, I'm bringing up Tyler Black,
yeah,
you know, or you know, Richie Steamboat, or guys like that.
Have you visited the FCW website recently?
I have, yeah.
It's unbelievable, actually, how many people they have down there. Oh, I thought there was just a very small developmental territory, and in some ways it is from the fact that they don't run a lot of shows, but there's a shitload of guys
down
there.
Oh, yeah, there are tons of guys. Now, some of them down there are guys like Jinder Mahal and Husky Harris and I think Michael McGillicuddy's on
Mark Tarver.
Tarver, but Tarver's still been he's not on TV, and I guess neither is Husky Harris. But with FCW, there are just tons of guys that, you know, have in that big thing. You know, we talk about I'm just looking, like Brodus Clay. I'm looking at the page right now. Brodus Clay is on there. That's on this this website. Husky Harris again is here. You know, then they've got the NXT guys like Johnny Curtis and Lucky Cannon. We've got Jinder Mahal, Michael Tarver. You know, so there's Ricardo Rodriguez there. Percy Watson. You know, that's another guy I'm bringing up, right? Because he looks like he's they're going to do that. You know,
Seth Rollins, I believe, is both the FCW Heavyweight Championship and one half the Tag Championship right now. So certainly, it looks to me from based on that, like they do have some plans for him. I mean, it's not like he's sitting down there and they're not using him. I mean, they built the promotion around him, essentially.
They look like they are. So, I mean,
it's only a matter of time.
Well, hopefully, because that's, I mean, I'm bringing him up. I'm bringing up Tito Colon to team with Primo, because I'm a fan of tag teams.
But there hasn't been, say, for how many years since, okay, you know what? This is going to be another topic and a big one. Richie Steamboat would be another guy.
Yeah, look at Alito. But I'm just looking at the picture right now, and that's a fucking spitting image.
Oh, yeah,
of
no
his
question.
Dad, eh?
No
holy.
But there's, I would love to see them do something else with developmental, because it hasn't been successful. And I think someday, let's talk about developmental in the next show.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's down what's wrong with developmental.
Yeah, no, that's a good. We would thank the Coy Baker actually for pretty much giving us our next show.
And Harry Palm Smith.
And Harry Palm Smith.
Two of them work
well.
Together, so thank
so
you very
there you
much.
Go, working together with Harry Palm Smith. Anyway, but I think that that might be all to talk about. I know I'd really would on maybe on our next show if we want to talk about developmental. There's not enough time for us to get into it now, but I really would like to go into the UFC and the injury insurance and how that's going to affect them.
Absolutely.
So maybe like to do that.
I have lots of good topics left. Well, there hasn't been a lot of interesting news this week. There is a lot of good topics related to wrestling to talk around that we just haven't had time to, so we're going to clean up a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But other than that, I just want to say that a man walks into a psychiatrist's office wearing nothing but saran wrap. Psychiatrist looks at him and says, well, I can clearly see you're nuts.
In the meantime and in between time,
wait,
that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.